Today is Wednesday, February 24th. We'll explain a grand jury's decision not to charge officers involved in a controversial and deadly police interaction, and what to know about the rollover crash that put Tiger Woods in the hospital. Plus, more vaccines on the way, what new data shows about college enrollment, and how the USPS is going high-tech. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. For the first time, lawmakers questioned officials who were in charge of security the day of the Capitol riot. And for the most part, they all pointed fingers. All four of the former and current officials who testified before senators this week agreed on two main points. One, federal intelligence authorities didn't give strong enough warnings that an attack was being planned. And two, the Pentagon was slow to provide National Guard backup. On that second point, the former Capitol Police chief said defense officials dragged their feet for hours, even after law enforcement officials begged for more help. Now, senators are asking some Pentagon officials to share their side of the story and testify at the next hearing. The Pentagon has said before that it takes time to get troops together, and when they offered more help earlier, they were turned down. As far as what else might have gone wrong ahead of the riot, the former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun said his department did get a report from the FBI the night before the riot, warning about extremist groups preparing for, quote, war. But Sun said the report never made it up the chain of command to him. And two other former security officials, the ex-House and Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, also said they never saw it. Eventually, five people died in the riot, including a Capitol Police officer. It was the deadliest attack on Congress in 200 years. The three top security officials resigned shortly after, and now the former Capitol Police chief says he regrets that decision. He also wants the FBI to start collecting more data on extremists here in the U.S. In fact, today, the House is set to hear from domestic terrorism experts and expect the next Senate hearing on Capitol security to happen as soon as next week. A grand jury has made the call. Officers in Rochester, New York, will not face criminal charges for a controversial incident that left a black man dead. Hundreds of protesters gathered in Rochester last night to show their frustration with the decision. This all dates back to about a year ago, in March 2020. Daniel Prude's brother had called police because Prude was apparently having some kind of psychotic episode. When police got there, Prude was naked in the street. They handcuffed him and put a so-called spit hood over his head. The hoods are used to stop people from spitting on officers, especially during a pandemic. But these hoods have also been criticized for making it hard to breathe. Police body camera video shows Prude, naked, with the mesh hood over his head. He's seen asking for the officer's gun, and then one officer pressing Prude's face into the pavement for 2 minutes. Eventually, he stops moving. Prude died in the hospital a week later. His death was ruled a homicide from suffocation. Fast forward to this week. New York's attorney general made it clear she was hoping for a different outcome and felt this was another unjustified killing. She says she and her office presented the strongest case possible to the grand jury, but that they were not able to convince the jury that officers committed a crime. The police officers' lawyers argued their clients were strictly following their training that night, and it seems the grand jury agreed. In response, the Prude family lawyer said the system failed Daniel Prude, and specifically his brother is heartbroken. The officers are still suspended, and they'll stay on leave during the rest of an internal investigation. The U.S. Justice Department is also reviewing the case. Tiger Woods was in a bad car crash, but he's said to be recovering. The golf superstar crashed his SUV in a Los Angeles suburb yesterday. The car was so mangled, firefighters had to pry open the windshield to pull Woods out. Fortunately, he was conscious and able to communicate with first responders. But sources tell ESPN the crash crushed Woods' legs, so he ended up with injuries like a compound leg fracture and a shattered ankle. He had to have surgery right away. At this point, it's not clear what caused the crash. There were not any other vehicles involved, and authorities say it doesn't seem like Woods was impaired by alcohol or drugs. We also don't know how fast he was going. But the good news is he was wearing a seatbelt. The investigation is still going on. And by the way, Woods was just coming off a recent back procedure, so he was already taking a break from golf, but he had planned to return later this year. After this crash, though, it's not clear yet when or if he'll be playing again. The COVID-19 vaccine makers say they're getting ready to send way more doses out to Americans who are still waiting to get their shots. We're talking about twice as many doses as those companies are sending now. So far, about 75 million doses have been shipped out. But both Pfizer and Moderna executives tell Congress they're now expecting that number to jump to about 220 million doses by the end of next month. And that's not even counting a third COVID-19 vaccine that could be on the way in the U.S. as well. The FDA is expected to authorize the Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccine very soon. And that company says it should have enough for 20 million people by the end of March. Looking ahead to summer, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson expect to have more than enough to vaccinate every American adult. At this point, about 14% of Americans have gotten at least one shot. Experts like Dr. Anthony Fauci have said the U.S. will need to vaccinate 70 to 80% of the population before we can really get back to normal. More news is coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor, Rothy's. Have you heard about Rothy's yet? They have comfy, chic shoes, stylish bags in all sizes, and washable masks. I've now gotten two pairs of shoes from Rothy's, and it's just the beginning. Because now that I've experienced the style and range of options, the reliable comfort with no break-in period required ever, and Rothy's great customer service, like free shipping and free returns on eligible items, I now know I can trust this company, and I love ordering from them. I'm still amazed that I could wear my Rothy's flats right out of the box, and they were comfortable from day one. I also really appreciate that Rothy's keeps sustainability in mind all along the way. To date, they've transformed more than 70 million plastic water bottles into their beautiful shoes, handbags, and face masks. It's no wonder Vogue has called Rothy's a, quote, personal obsession. So check out all the amazing shoes, bags, and masks available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's Rothy's, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Again, head to rothys.com/newsworthy today. Now, back to the news. New federal data shows fewer Americans are choosing to go to college these days. Freshman enrollment dipped more than 13% in the fall of 2020, and overall, undergraduate enrollment dropped almost 3%. That's the fastest decline in decades. So what's behind this? Well, research from the Federal Bank of St. Louis found more students are opting to skip college because classes have largely gone online. And to put it frankly, they just don't think virtual classes are worth the money. This shift is still pretty unique, though. Usually enrollment goes up during a recession when jobs are harder to come by, and many people may think a diploma will give them more of an edge in the job market. But that's not happening this time around. Still, there is one bright spot for colleges. Graduate student enrollment is up more than 3.5%. Analysts say that's likely because graduate programs are less about an on-campus experience, and they're usually focused more on independent research. America's largest Protestant denomination is making a statement against LGBTQ-friendly churches. The Southern Baptist Convention decided to expel one church in Georgia and another in Kentucky, officially cutting ties with them for accepting homosexuality, saying it goes against what their religion stands for. But the pastor of the Georgia church says he does not regret being inclusive. He says it's the right thing to do. The New York Times reports Southern Baptists have been increasingly divided in recent years over a range of cultural and political issues. The one leader said at their meeting the divisions mirror the differences in views nationwide. News will be returning to Facebook in Australia. Remember, in a controversial move, Facebook banned all news articles on its platform last week to push back against a proposed law in that country. The law would make big tech companies like Google and Facebook pay news outlets for their content. Nielsen data shows Australian news outlets saw a drop in users during Facebook's news ban. So it seems the social network got its message across, even though plenty of people were not happy about it. Either way, Facebook and the Australian government have now made a deal. Both sides agreed to some changes in the proposed law. Essentially, the law might not apply to Facebook as long as the social network can make enough deals with publishers on its own. So at the end of the day, Facebook is still supposed to pay for news content just on its own terms. But keep in mind, this may inspire other countries to take similar action. Canada has already said it's planning to propose similar laws, and countries like Germany, France, and Finland have considered it as well. The U.S. Postal Service is getting a high-tech makeover. It just unveiled its plans for a new generation of mail trucks. And this is a big deal since the current ones are nearly 30 years old and cost a lot of money to run and maintain. The new trucks will look pretty familiar. They'll be white and have that trademark boxy shape with the USPS logo on the side. But there are some key differences. For starters, some of them will be electric, and they'll be bigger so they can hold more packages. They'll also have air conditioning and new tech like cameras and systems to help avoid crashes. The first of the new trucks will roll out in 2023. And in all, the USPS hopes to have between 50,000 and 165,000 new trucks over the next decade. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode is made possible thanks to Ritual. Ritual is not your typical multivitamin. Its clean, vegan-friendly formula is made with key nutrients, including vitamin D3, to help fill gaps in the diet and informs your body can actually use. No shady extras allowed. That's why I first started taking Ritual vitamins months ago. Yep, even if I was not partnering with them, I would be taking these vitamins. I appreciate that the company is so upfront about exactly what goes in the vitamins and why. And I can take them with or without food with no issues. Ritual's fresh-tasting, delayed-release capsules are designed to dissolve later in less sensitive areas of the stomach. They're also convenient. They're delivered right to my door with free shipping each month. Of course, you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And get this, if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. Plus, right now, Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. And today we're talking about how blue-collar jobs, like jobs in construction and package delivery, are booming right now. For example, on the job site Indeed.com, there are about 26% more job openings for construction jobs now than there was a year ago. And warehouse and delivery jobs are doing well, too, as more people buy online. Before the pandemic hit, reports say Americans did about 40% of their shopping online. But a new survey found now it's more like 60%. In fact, the Wall Street Journal points out some blue-collar companies are having a hard time finding enough workers to keep up with the demand. Millions of people are actually not looking for work right now because they have more childcare responsibilities during the pandemic, or they're worried about getting COVID-19 on the job. But economists expect demand for construction and e-commerce jobs to keep growing even after the pandemic, although possibly at a slower pace. They also say the service industry could get a boost soon as retail and restaurant jobs come back. All right, thank you so much for listening today. You can read more about any of the news stories mentioned in the episode notes on thenewsworthy.com. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.